was watching TV last night, flipping the dial like you do, and I came upon the NBA. And somebody scored a basket, and on the back of his jersey was Breonna Taylor's name, I think. And then he ran past the Black Lives Matter logo on the court, and the announcers referred to that, so I went right back to hockey. I lasted about 15 seconds with the NBA, and that's why their ratings are at an all-time low. Not because sports aren't essential, like some website said, but because people don't want sports and woke mixed together, let alone mixed to a non-stop degree. And it's okay to wear those names on the backs of jerseys and to put logos on the court and take a knee and all that. But people just don't want it. It's okay to boo taking a knee like people did at that soccer game in Dallas, but I don't think they're booing the cause. I think they're booing the saturation. It's just enough already. Further the cause, because it's a just cause, just don't stick it up my backside every 5 seconds when I'm watching a game on TV. That is not what most of America wants. That's why the ratings are down for the NBA, and it's why they're down for ESPN Woke Center, too. You can't make people care, and you can't make people watch. You know who gets it? LeBron gets it. You know what's on the back of his jersey? James. James, his name, and number 23. LeBron gets it. He's there to play basketball, and he knows when enough is too much. In more NBA playoff news, the San Antonio Spurs missed the playoffs for the first time in 22 years. Most people seem to think that's Jack Johnson's fault. This is the Mark Madden Show, down on that killing floor. Lemon song reference. I've been doing it all week. I shouldn't have to explain it. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. Or you can do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter, at Mark Madden X. Had to push Jim Rutherford back to next week. We'll keep talking Penguins, though, with Colby Armstrong at 3:30. And Rob Rossi of The Athletic at 4:30. Yesterday, The Athletic said the Penguins will not spend the salary cap, which will be $81.5 million. The Athletic said the Penguins will spend in the low to mid-70s range, which is still pretty high. If it's 75 mil, that's 93% of the cap. But today, DK quoted a high-ranking Penguins official as saying that the Pens may spend to the cap. So I guess we need to wait and see what they actually spent. Maybe Jim Rutherford could chime in on that when we talk to him next week, but the proof is in the pudding. The Athletic also said today, in a different article, that the Penguins' loss was totally down to three people, and they are, of course, Jack Johnson, but also Justin Schultz and Matt Murray. This article also said that Evgeny Malkin is owed better. Owed better. Yeah, okay, Gino's owed better, despite going 0-for-21 from the field against Montreal. He is owed better. Okay, perhaps the author has a Gino jersey. Those are expensive, like $224.99 apiece, but shipping is free. That's where a lot of the Jack Johnson criticism comes from, you know. You don't see too many Jack Johnson jerseys out there, but you sure do see a lot of Evgeny Malkin's. The Pirates won. Yahoo! Scored a bunch of runs, too. They are now 4-13. Even more bigly, I miss the stench of the ballpark. Smell. Smell, I mean. The smell of the ballpark. Not stench, but smell. By the way, are the St. Louis Cardinals ever going to play again? How many Cardinals have died from COVID? Oh, wait, actually, this moving on the wire. They start playing tomorrow. Yay, baseball! Yay, baseball! Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers had 3 home runs in a game last night. He's only 27, and he's done that 6 times on his career, which is already tied for the most ever. That is pretty awesome, but disclaimer, if somebody was going to do something like that quick in his career, it was going to be in an era where everybody swings for the fences every single time. Launch angle and all that. Zach Plesac, the dopey pitcher from Cleveland who broke COVID protocol and got sent home, along with some other dopey pitcher, Plesac posted a video making himself the victim and said the media does evil things. Yeah, like reporting the truth or like talking on video while driving, which is what Plesac did to make his video not real safe. And then the manager's son, Terry Francona's son, responded on Twitter and called Plesac a moron. Plesac is a moron, but he's also a typical athlete. Always a victim, never his fault. Pitt canceled football practice because a few players had symptoms of COVID, but these players ultimately tested negative. That's the way to get a day off in practice. Just say, hey, coach, I got a scratchy throat. Day off for everybody. Arizona just scored. They're tied with Colorado 2-2 in the second period. The Columbus and Tampa series is tied one game apiece. The Blue Jackets won yesterday, and they deserve a lot of credit for coming back to win after losing in five overtimes in game one. Carolina beat Boston. That's one game each. The Canes are really good. Vegas is up 2-0 on Chicago after Vegas won in OT last night. Dallas beat Calgary 5-4, and that series is at one game each. Tuukka Rask, the Boston goalie, he was kind of half complaining in a post-game interview, half complaining about lack of playoff atmosphere in the empty arena. Gee, no kidding? I guess the atmosphere is lacking a bit, come to think of it. That's sort of a dumb thing to say when the arenas aren't empty by choice. It's either play this way or don't play at all. Claude Julien, the Montreal coach, he had chest pain, so he had a stent put in to unblock an artery, and he is recovering. Hey, welcome to the club, buddy. I got two. You still trail me by one. Canadiens and Flyers just getting underway. This should yet be a great series because Carey Price is the greatest goalie in the world, no matter what the numbers say. 412-333-WXDX. There are some days I feel like not doing the show at all. This is one of those days, so you're going to have to pitch in a bit more than I'm sure you like to and call in and just talk about crap. Doesn't really matter what, just talk about crap, the stench of the ballpark, the Pitt players faking COVID to get a day off practice. Did I say that out loud? Could have happened. Oh, staying with college football, it appears that a lot of Syracuse football players, you know, with the ACC still moving forward with plans to play, a lot of the players are skipping practice and they're apparently going to opt out en masse. You could tell they're not on a good team. If you're on a bad team during all this, the pandemic, especially college where you're not paid to play, I mean, pro, you're paid. I get it. Do your job. But in college, with all this chaos and uncertainty, plus the threat of COVID, I wouldn't play. I'd definitely opt out. If you're an NFL prospect, they're going to find you anyway. They're going to draft you regardless. I definitely would not play. 412-333-WXDX. This is the Mark Madden Show. We got Colby Armstrong at 3:30. We got Rob Rossi at 4:30. If we don't get some of your calls next, we'll have mostly dead air because I haven't done a whole ton of preparation. Hey, next month marks 25 glorious years of doing this program. I have nothing to prove. My time is tight. I may die, retire, something like that. If you can't make it happen, I don't need to. My legacy will last a good 30 seconds after the last broadcast of this show. Remember the Truman Show? That show had been on for decades. 24/7, highest ratings. The minute it was over, the EMT guy said, hey, grab the TV guide. Let's see what else is on. 105.9X. Montreal has scored first. They lead Philadelphia 1-0. I'm watching Barcelona and Bayern Munich in the Champions League quarterfinals. 1-1. Just about 16 minutes in. That could be the de facto final. That's the luck of the draw. That's how the Champions League matchups are put together. Very interesting game so far. Okay, we got Mark and Mark both on hold. We'll get to them in just a... You know what? We'll get to them now. I want calls. I got calls. Let's put them on. Mark and Carnegie, you're on with the Super Genius.
Hi, Mark. Love the show. I'm just wondering, do you agree with... It's more of an opinion thing, and then I'll voice mine. Do you agree with all of the schools just giving in? Because the students would be safer doing
okay, what schools? High schools, colleges? What are you talking about?
High schools and colleges.
I don't see it as giving in. I think if they're not attending classes, they shouldn't be playing. If they are attending classes, they should be playing. I think the question kind of answers itself.
There's a good point of, you know, the whole thing about college kids getting paid, but that has not been done yet. But even if they're not, they're going to be in a bubble, basically. And they should just play. It's good for the country.
Yeah, college kids in a bubble. Good for the country? What are you, nuts? Nobody cares except in those hick college towns.
Nobody cares about college football?
Not in civilization, sir. I live in a city. I live in an urban area. I don't care. I have professional sports.
Care.
I have the finest. No, I don't care. I don't know if you listen to this show very often. You gave me the impression you did, saying how you liked it. I talk about college football maybe 0.3% of the time on the year. I just don't care. And if we care in Pittsburgh, how come the Pitt games don't come close to selling out, except when they play a traditional college power where the visiting fans buy the tickets?
What about, like, just other schools that we happen to see on television?
See on television. I just fly right by. I don't watch college football.
Iron Bowl's everywhere.
I don't watch it.
Everybody watches that.
Don't watch it.
Well, how do you explain your agreement with watching all of the soccer games that you were just talking about?
Because football. I enjoy that. I watch what I enjoy. I don't watch what I don't enjoy. And everyone should do that. And by the way, those soccer games draw a pretty good rating on American TV.
Not arguing that one at all. Not at all. But so does college football.
But I don't care. I mean, how many times do I have to say I don't care before you process that? I don't have to care. This show is Steelers, Penguins, and the event of the day. I don't have to talk about college football at all. In fact, my quote-unquote competition, the B team, they're obligated because they're the Pitt flagship, and they suffer because of it.
Well, I don't like them. I like your show, just for a sec.
Well, how could you not?
Of course. Okay.
But the point is, when these players, to get serious for a second,
sure,
with high school and college football, these players are amateurs. They do not get paid. So the liability is at the wazoo. That's why there's no legitimate plan to play, because the liability's crazy. And I think these college leagues that are forging ahead to play, hey, I hope they're successful for the sake of people who do embrace it like you do, but I think they're going to run into problems because of the liability issues.
Then you have to choose. Stick your head in the sand and die or live.
I'm not sure that it's either or. I think there's also wait until
you're
there's
old
a...
enough and you're smart enough to know.
Quit interrupting me. You should be smart enough to know that, sir. Or you wait till there's a vaccine, you start playing then. I think a year from now you'll be able to play, period. So what if you lose a year? Is that big of a disaster?
For young children, yes, it is. A year is a big deal.
No, because the pros will go pro, the legitimate, you know, first three-round draft picks. Everybody else gets an extra year of eligibility. They won't be losing a year. They'll just be delaying a year.
Mm, but their bodies have lost a year.
You're right. They need to play no matter what the risk is. Are we good now?
No. I don't want to just, like, give up, because that's no fun.
Sooner or later, you will. Thank you for the call, because I don't think they're going to play. I think the SEC, Mike, because the SEC is just as professional as the NFL. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Mark, you're on with the Super Genius.
What up, man?
What up, man?
Would you rather see Simone on a line with Sid next season or Sherry?
None of the above.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, but if you had to pick one, because we know that the Penguins will pick one of the two to play on.
Back in the day, when Michelle Therrien coached the team, and I thought Mike did a good job, okay?
Okay.
There was a winger named Michelle Ouellette, who was very much in the mold of Sherry and Simone. Except in this case, it wasn't Crosby that liked Ouellette. It was Therrien who did. Maybe they had the Francophone thing going. I don't know. How did Ray Shiro solve that problem? Do you remember? The general manager. How did Shiro solve that problem?
I do not remember. Please refresh my memory.
He traded Ouellette because you can't fire the gun if you take away the bullets. So I would just get rid of Simone and Sherry. Sherry's a unrestricted free agent. I think Simone may be restricted. I'd just let him go. Although, Simone is better than Sherry, and Cahoon was better than both of them. That trade now really looks bad. Cahoon for Sherry and Rodriguez, especially with players in that Athletic article ripping the deal after the fact, and I thought Cahoon was a good player too, and much better than Sherry. Sid made that trade. Let's not, you know, kid ourselves. Sid wanted Sherry back and on his wing, so that's what happened. Now, if you think that that's good, that it was a good trade, and that the captain should have that kind of power, and I'm not saying he shouldn't, then fine. I just didn't like the trade then, and it played out very poorly. Not to be critical. And again, that seems like I'm bashing Sid. If Sid wants Sherry on his wing, fine. I just wouldn't trade for Sherry, and I wouldn't put Sherry on Sid's wing. And what happened makes it look like I'm the guy who was right. Well, the score is Bayern Munich 2, Barcelona 1. Kind of an odd scoreline because Barcelona has put all three balls in the net. A goal and two own goals. Bayern 2, Barca 1. It is very exciting. I think the Germans are the better team. 1-2-3-3-3-WXDX. It's the Mark Madden Show. We got Colby Armstrong just around the corner on 105.9. Quite an afternoon so far. Montreal leads the Flyers 2-0. Bayern leads Barcelona 3-1. And joining me now to talk about, well, none of that, but about the end of the Penguins season, he is a rising young star in the hockey media, ex of the Penguins and Canadiens. He is Colby Armstrong. Army, who are you rooting for now? The Penguins are out. Are you a Canadian again?
No, I'm not. I actually like the Golden Knights. I like them, and obviously I'd like to see Fleury in the net. But I like the way they play. They're aggressive. They're quick. They can cycle. They're physical. They're a strong team. I've really enjoyed watching them. Another one too is Vancouver. Mark, talented team. Play a fun style to watch, and kind of a team that's impressed me all season long.
I agree. I like the way both those clubs look. What happened with the Penguins against Montreal? It's been a week. I've asked everybody, and I'm not sure I've yet gotten a complete answer. What do you think? What went wrong?
I think you've got the situation where it was a team trying to find their game, and you know whatever that takes, or wherever they were with searching for that. To a team that came in prepared to fight for their lives. And that's a big difference. You know, that's a big difference in compete level and being desperate. And I think it showed in the series. I think it showed to a man, and I think it showed in the series. But, and you can look back to last year in the Islanders series, and obviously this is totally different, I think, just with the COVID stuff and the pause and the break. But I just think, to a man and to a team, they came in, knowing they'd be a good deep team, but they didn't put it together. And they were, instead of, going for it and being ready and going for it to play, a hard, grindy game, which we're seeing teams that are playing the defensive style, hard in your face, hard working, grindy game. So the team's finding success right now. They got caught stuck searching for something to happen, and it didn't happen for them.
Should Tristan Jarry have played sooner? I'm not sure Murray stunk, but he wasn't stealing games, and Jarry was pretty good in game four, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And he brings a certain calmness, I think, just to his game. But I don't see a reason why, if you have that platoon-like goaltending situation, you wouldn't have gone to it. And look at Carolina. I mean, look what Carolina did, the last game. They went with Reimer, and they came up with a big win yesterday. Against Boston. So, Mrazek was all over the place, and they didn't flinch. They had two guys that they like, and maybe they should have probably done that a little sooner, a little bit more of a desperate move, but also at the same time could have gave him something to build off of with the change. Because it does kind of strike your lineup. It does strike your team as something that has to be done. Change has been made, and we need to get going here if they didn't know already. But it just does something to your team. So I think you know, with the ability with two good goalies, you know, that's something they probably should have looked at. It's easier to say now that it's all said and done, but something they should have probably looked at doing.
Should Jack Johnson and or Justin Schultz have been scratched at some point? How much did the poor play from that bottom pair contribute to Pittsburgh's demise?
Well, I mean, I think they were exactly what the rest of the team was. And look, they're the bottom pair. They get the matchups that they get. And, you know, I don't think they're the only ones that floundered or you know, were just, you know, the people that should be have the finger pointed at them. And sure, you can change the bottom pair. What happens during the regular season, Mark, all the time? And this is a constant thing, and it's a constant with guys in that position. And believe me, I was a fourth line guy and found myself in those positions. And I've seen lots of guys come in and out of the line. Look, we're not playing good. They flip-flop a fourth line left winger in and out. And they made changes. So is it the big change that would have really shook the lineup and really, you know, given a huge change? And Ricola and Ruedel come in? I don't know. When you've got Schultz, you know, with the intangibles that he could bring with his PP work as well, comparatively to those other guys. But look, the fact of the matter is, beyond any of that ticky-tack stuff, they weren't at the point with their game collectively and to a man where it took to get into this situation in the first round of the playoffs or the qualifying round. They weren't good enough. They weren't.
No, I agree.
They ran up against the hot goaltender, too. I mean, it was a perfect storm of all that.
Well, I'm not sure if Carey Price was hot or he just had to play solid, because I don't think the Penguins tested him much. And rather than point fingers, and I agree, rather than point fingers at the bottom pair D, I mean, Gino had no goals. Sid had only the two. I mean, to me, the big money guy's got to put up the big results. I don't want to point fingers at them either, but that's more logical than looking at the bottom pair D.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Price had to be good in the first period of a few games when the Penguins did, you know, come out and press a little bit, but nowhere near enough on the inside, in and around him. You know, he did have to be sharp at times. I think in moments throughout the series where he was really, really good. And then you have to look at the other moments too. A huge 5-on-3 in the one game, unable to capitalize and really even get anything going or set up. It was sloppy. A lot of the stuff was just really sloppy. And you could say it was rust. You could say it was, and by rust, I mean just being sloppy play. But, you know, I think there was a big difference. And you could look, and this is what we're hearing Jim Rutherford about the makeup of the team and something needs to change. From having, you know, those type of guys or type of players through your lineup to provide a personality for this team. And there's not enough guys that can do that. You have your star players, and you have your big boys, and then you surround them with certain players and pieces that provide the engine and provide that personality to your team throughout the depth of your lineup. And they had too many guys that were the same and looked the same here, especially in the playoffs. Not enough guys to stir the pot. Not enough guys that had that pure energy, play a certain abrasive type of game that would have made them successful here in this situation, the way it was set up. And that, I think that's where they have to look. I think they have to look at those surrounding pieces that can be big difference makers. And there's going to be guys at free agency. You can go find a 27 to 30-year-old guy that you can pick up that can come in and provide that. There's guys that are going to be up this year. You know, the scouts are going to have to get down and dirty and figure out which guys are that. There's a few guys in Nashville, I think, that are good guys to look at, too, that are coming up. And I know they're looking to make changes. So can you find it there? But you have to find those guys that provides some personality to the lineup that make you a lot tougher to play against if it's not going as good for you. Mark, look at a lot of these teams. They're not, you know, skill-wise, they're not better, but they give themselves a quality chance to win every night just because of the style of play through their lineup that they're willing to play. And I don't know if they have enough to have guys right now in their lineup that'll do that. And I think that's why Jim Rutherford's looking at it long and hard.
We're talking to Colby Armstrong here on the X. Speaking of Jim Rutherford, the GM says the core will be coming back, Sid, Gino, and Letang. Can you change much if all three of those guys come back. I'm of the opinion that if all three come back, for better or worse, then it's really the same team.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it depends on how you surround it, like how you surround those guys, and kind of like, you know, like people don't talk too much about a lot of those complementary players that provide certain things to certain lines that are big factors on certain lines and that can bring a certain flavor to it. So, you know, I think that's hard, you know, to plug and play certain guys that you can find on the market or in trades or even young guys that can come in and fill in those spots. I know Jim talked a lot about young youthful legs and that youthful energy and guys that wanted to be there and do that, and obviously disappointed with the way things turned out right now. But I like the core. Like, Letang's, when he's on, is, you know, for me, one of the top, you know,
yeah, but,
five.
But Army, forgive the interruption, but here's my problem with those three. And, you know, I have a great respect for what those guys have done and certainly their current talent, too. But they won't change. They show no interest in adjusting the way they play, depending on the opposition or depending on what's robbed from them by age at some point. They just want to play the same way.
Yeah, and that's something that has to be talked about, because whether you like it or not, Father Time is catching this window that everyone talks about. And when you talk about the window, you're referring to those three players. That's all you're referring to.
Yes.
That is the window. It's not that is it. Those three players are the window. So what can you surround them with, and what are the types of personalities and players that you can surround it with to give this team that certain bite or certain look or certain play style of play that you're looking for? I think you got to keep those guys. You got to keep them right now. Believe me, though, the clock is ticking where Jim Rutherford in the next year, 2 years, is going to have to make some tough decisions on a few of those guys, for sure. It's just the way it goes, and it's the way it is, and how can you surround it, and what kind of picks can you bring in, and how can you develop your young players to hopefully come in and play a solid type of hockey. But I think it comes down to style. I think it comes to identifying certain players that can play a certain style and brand of hockey. Look, it's happening in Leaf Nation right now, the Toronto Maple Leafs. All the skill in the world, top cap paid to all these guys in the world, no room to budge on anyone else, and they decide to play a certain style that has gotten them punted, by a team that works hard, is dedicated to defensive play, block shots, and all we're talking about is the Columbus Blue Jackets, the team. We're not talking about Matthews. We're not talking about Murray. We're talking about a team. So you have to find a good fit that guys can come in and fit in and play around your core guys until the wheels fall off, and that's what I would do.
What do you do in goal? Is Murray gone, and is Jari the guy? Rutherford said they probably won't keep both. If that's the way it goes, I'm comfortable with that direction. What say you?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that as well. And it, you know, it's going to be big, right? Like what you, in the, when it comes down to talks, and I'm sure they've had them, and I'm sure they know kind of where things are standing, where with, you know, what Murray's looking for contract wise coming up right now, and maybe it's far off from what the Penguins are thinking with him as well. So I think we'll see some changes. You know, the coaches leaving are probably, you know, the first of many, where Jim's going to have to do a full look at the roster and decide what's happening. But I mean, if I had to guess, I would guess Jari would be the guy coming back next year.
Are the Penguins still a speed team, Army? Can they be that with a bunch of 30-somethings? In his post-mortem, Sullivan talked about how we're going to play the same way. I wonder if that's really possible, and if he doesn't need to take a look at what he's got and play to perhaps different strengths.
Yeah, different strengths. Look, I like when I watch teams, like what I think is giving yourself a chance to win. You want to talk about dictating play, like that'll happen when you have good players. Yes, you can dictate play and you can play, you know, that puck possession style of game. But you have to give yourself the best chance to win. And to me, that's attention to detail defensively through your tactics and system and willingness to play a certain style and identifying players that can do that for you. Especially in the playoffs, you know, you look at how many years have the Penguins made the playoffs in a row, and until recently, we've seen them kind of, you know, get punted out and pushed out, you know, fairly easily. So, how do you become a team that is tougher in that regard? How do you become a team that's tougher and can hang in there in those moments where you're playing against teams that are a little more challenging or a little more stingy or play a trap? Or you got to be able to give yourself a chance to win. And to be able to do that, you have to have the personalities and personnel in there that are willing, you know, to adapt and play a certain style. So can they play a fast game? Yeah, they can play a fast game, but there has to be a certain difference in style where they give themselves a chance defensively to battle and do that. And I think, you know, looking back that couple years, they were fast, yes. But they had certain personalities and certain characteristics to certain players throughout their lineup that were big moment players in key situations, whether it's penalty kill, like Ian Cole, we talked about him a lot and how huge he was. He wasn't anything other than a guy that got in your way, a guy that was tough to play against, a guy that blocked shots, and a guy that had men pocket fast skaters. And I don't know if they had enough guys that were, you know, willing to do and play, you know, certain styles of game like that.
See, if I were picking the roster for next year, I'd decide right now that Poulin and Olivier Joseph would be on the team. Period. I'd let them play through their mistakes in their youth because they're fast, they're going to be excited, and that's the kind of change I think is needed. In Army, traditionally, teams that win cups in the cap era have significant contributors who are in their entry-level contract.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, and it's just the way it goes. And you got to give them a chance. Look, I was sitting up in the press box, and Kirby Dach was a healthy scratch against the Chicago Blackhawks. And mind you, he's a top, you know, 2-3 pick in the draft just recently. He's an elite guy and ripped it up in junior hockey in Canada. And if you watch Chicago, he's big number 77, just like power forward with nicest hands. He plays on a really good line. He looks like an NHL star right now. An NHL star. This guy was healthy scratch middle of the season this year, you know, trying to find his way. So you get youthful guys in there. It pays to have them around in practices and in games and where they can fill in. There's going to be growing pains. But I'm telling you, after the pause, Kirby Dach looks like an NHL star comparatively to where he was before the pause. So I agree. I think we saw that in their cup wins too. We had guys coming up, young guys, youthful energy. Jim Rutherford touched on that. Guys that, you know, can bring that energy and that enthusiasm to the rink. And I think that's important day to day. It's important to have those guys day to day, and it's important to get them time to see, you know, what it's like to be in those situations as well. So I think you're right. I think you have to look at, you know, where they can make room. And obviously we've seen, you know, guys in and around here in Simone and some of these other guys that have found their way in and out, first line to fourth line. And why can't you put a younger body in there to get them that experience and see those minutes?
Army, great stuff today. Great stuff all season. Thanks for your contribution. And my final question is, what the hell do I do now? Because the Penguins are out. There's still hockey going on. I'm not a big fan of pretty much anything else. So what direction should this show take? I leave the decision to you.
Well, Mark, if anything else, and it's always entertainment for entertainment value, you might have to go strictly Buckos talk, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for all year. It's great talking hockey with you all season long.
That's Colby Armstrong. He's one of the greats. He's brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Count on a name you can trust for all your plumbing needs. And by Dunkin' Donuts. Well, they're just Dunkin' now, and Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'. 412-333-WXDX number to call. Oh, I forgot. I'm getting a new car tomorrow from Wright Nissan. I'm trading in La Flama Blanca, the Murano. Wonder what I'll get this time. Any hoodles, we need a bunch of calls today. I put up two interesting pieces today. One was a story on Jack Johnson, but also Ron Stackhouse. We talked about him yesterday, the all-time leader in Pittsburgh sports for getting booed by the home fans. And I have a blog about him, dude, that has video of him scoring a goal. And it's a great video because it's from the 77 playoffs. The Penguins won at Toronto 6-4, but they lost the preliminary round series, and that was 2-1, only best of three. In one video, it's like 30 seconds, you got Stacky scoring. You see Greg Malone, who was Ryan's dad, playing for the Penguins. They had the awesome blue, black, and white unis back then. And the broadcast team are two total legends. Channel 11 Sam Nover and original Penguin general manager Jack Riley, both now sadly RIP. So check out that video at WXDX.com. We got Rob Rossi next hour. It's the Mark Madden Show. Canadians 2, Flyers 0 after 1. In an absolute slaughterhouse that I did not see coming, Bayern Munich 4, Barcelona 1. Where is your God now, Messi? 105.9 The X. I'm not sure. sure how much longer we could talk Penguins. I still can't believe their season lasted all of 6 days. Between the pre-camp and the resumption camp and then going to the bubble, it all seems like a colossal waste of time for the Penguins. And maybe they want to get out of the bubble, but I think all the teams do, and somebody's still playing. Somebody won in the preliminary round, but the Penguins did not. I'd love to get Steeler conversation going. I got a Steeler segment coming up at 4 o'clock. Whether or not that bears fruit, I don't know. My sports talk calendar, my timeline's all screwed up. It's August. I'm talking about hockey. I have 5 weeks vacation left, but how do I take that while the Steelers play? I don't know, but I'm going to. It just seems since, you know, this all hit in March, like world without end, except it's ending. Not the pandemic, but the world. It just ain't getting no better. But I complain too much. I know it's part of my charm. 412-333-WXDX. Coast to Coast brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com. And by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back and not your wallet. Even though they won all three of the round robin games and now lead Chicago 2-0 in the first round proper, Vegas starting Lehner and goal ahead of Fleury is getting some attention. Jesse Granger of The Athletic tweeted this. We pulled 392 NHL players. Which goalie they would want in net for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final? The second most popular answer, 22%, was Marc-Andre Fleury. The Golden Knights have benched him to start the playoffs. I am honestly stunned. Well, I'm not. Well, first off, the number one answer was Carey Price, who has never won a Stanley Cup. But here's what happened in Vegas. Fleury hasn't been quite what he was since Vegas got to the final as an expansion team in 2018. Some think Washington exposed Fleury a bit in that final, exposed his old weaknesses, like, you know, not great moving side to side, overcommit sometime. And again, Fleury's not quite played to that level since. Now, DeBoer replaced Gallant as coach. Peter DeBoer, Jerry Gallant. And Vegas traded for Lehner, and Lehner was a Vezina finalist last season with the Islander, and Lehner became DeBoer's guy. If Gallant's still there, Fleury plays for sure. Same reason Murray played the first three games to the Penguins in the playoffs when performance dictated otherwise. Performance dictated that Jari had won the job, but Murray was Sullivan's guy. It's weird because the Athletic story said that Sullivan lost faith in Murray's toughness and mentality through this season, but then again, he kept playing Murray in the playoffs. There was a column at the Athletic today that said the Penguins' loss was down to Jack Johnson, Justin Schultz, and Matt Murray, period. Never mind Gino putting up bricks. The bottom pair defense was bad. They lost the series. Murray shouldn't have been in goal. That lost the series. And I will say, that bottom pair played too much and should have been scratched at some point, but it didn't lose the series. The use of Murray, that was bad. That was a bigger factor. People are blaming that VH goaltending style for that Petrie goal that won Game 3 for Montreal. One pad vertical, one horizontal, if they're at a bad angle. And if the shooter hits the top shelf, oh well. That style, that VH, it's coached, and it sucks. But just stop the puck, all right? And Jari should have been in no later than Game 2. Jari was the better goaltender all season, and at the restart camp, and I understand loyalty, and I understand what happened in 2016 and 17 and yada yada, but I also know what happens when a coaching regime stops being a meritocracy. And that's exactly what happened. Okay, we got Glenn from Carrick on hold, and we got some Steeler talk in 30 seconds on 105.9.